That was There's a Part I Can't Get Back from Sunflower Beans, Mortal Primetime. I would like to report on the Northwest League, which is a high league three levels below Major League Baseball at this time. Three games were on tap for June 2nd as three new series started for the week. The host Tri-City Dust Devils doubled the Vancouver Canadiens 8-4. Highlighted by Tri-City's four runs in the bottom of seventh, started by Peter Burns' one-run single, which was the eventual game-winning hit, and capped off by Randy DeJesus' three-run jack, both off Gilbert Batista, as the Dust Devils outhit Tolbert and the Canadiens made three of four errors at Giza Stadium in Pasco, Washington. The visitors' Hillsboro Hops overcame an early 5-0 deficit against the Spokane Indians with four runs in the top of fifth, capped off by Alberto Barriga's three-run blast off Spokane's Everett Catlett, tied on Modafi Marte's one-run single in the sixth, and scored two more runs in the seventh, first on an Adrian Rodriguez's double. And Rodriguez scored on an Alberto Barriga's groundout for a 7-6 comeback win, despite the Hops getting out-hit 11-6 as the Indians made two of three errors at Avista Stadium in Spokane Valley, Washington. And the host Everett Aquasox overcame an early 4-1 deficit for an 8-5 win over the Eugene Emeralds as Everett had a 4-run rally in the bottom of third, capped off by Brendan Elke's 3-run bomb off Eugene's Hunter Dryden for a 5-4 lead, followed by three more runs in the fourth, first on Felnin Celeste's 2-run double, after which Celeste stole third and scored on a throwing error from catcher Yancel Villanueva. Even though the Aqua Sox were out-hit 10-9, and the Emeralds made two errors. On June 3rd, Vancouver bested Tri-City 5-3 as the Canadiens broke a 2-2 tie with a run in the top of fifth, followed by two more runs in the sixth on one-run doubles by Brennan Orff, the eventual game-winning hit, and Carter Cunningham, both off the Dust Devils' Zach Redner, as Vancouver outhit Tri-City 13-5. Hillsboro doubled up Spokane 4-2, highlighted by the Hops' three runs in the top of fourth, capped off by Jose Mejia advancing to first on a catcher interference by Alan Espinal, plating Brady Council home, as hits were tied at 9 apiece, and the Indians made the lone error. And Everett defeated Eugene 5-3 despite getting out-hit 10-2, highlighted by the Aqua Sox 5-run barrage in the bottom of third, capped off by Felin Celestin's grand slam off the Emeralds' Jacob Bresnahan as Everett made one error to Eugene's 0. On June 4th, Tri-City edged Vancouver 4-3, highlighted by the Dust Devils' three runs in the bottom of six, where Randy DeJesus hit a three-run jack off the Canadiens' Reese Wissinger as Tri-City out-homered Vancouver 2-0 despite getting out-hit 11-5, and the Dust Devils made one error to the Canadiens' 0. Spokane walked off Hillsboro 2-1 as Jack O'Dowd managed a bases-loaded walk against John West, plating Tommy Hoff with two outs in the bottom of ninth, as the Indians outhit the Emeralds 9-6, and the Emeralds made the lone error. Just a minute. Oh, shoot. I missed one game here. And Everett shellacked Eugene in the third game of June 4th, as the Aqua Sox scored five runs. Just a minute, please. As the Aqua Sox scored five runs in the first three innings. Yeah, I just found this out now. Where Johnny Vermillo hit a two-run jack, two-run shot in the bottom of third, which was the game eventual game winner that gave the Emeralds a 3-0 lead. But that gave the Aqua Sox a 3-0 lead. But Everett just poured on Eugene with two more runs in the bottom of third, bottom of fifth, and a 4-run rally in the bottom of sixth. Sorry, I just found this out now. Everett out-homered Eugene. 1, 2, 3. Eugene and Everett were tied in home runs, but the Aqua Sox out-hit the Emeralds 14-13, but I don't understand how Eugene just scored two runs on 13 hits. Well, Everett scored 12 runs on 14 hits. Yeah. Sorry, I just found this out now. Sorry about this. On June 5th, just a minute. Where was I? On June 5th, Vancouver exercised Tri-City 14-2 as the Canadiens scored three runs in each of the top of first, fourth, fifth, along with two runs late in the game, out-homering the Dust Devils 2-1 with a 15-hit assault. Just a minute. I just have to get back to the scores. Sorry, just trying to get this accurate. So, yeah. So the Vancouver Tri-City, the scores will have been confirmed. Spokane broke a 4-4 tie with Hillsboro in the fifth with four runs, followed by three more runs in the bottom of six, capped off by Max Belew's three-run bomb as the Indians out-homered the Hawks 3-1 and triumphed 12-5 despite making three of four errors. An ever tighter game against Eugene at 5 in the bottom of 7th on Austin St. Laurent's 3-run jack, followed by Johnny Vermillo, Luis Suibel's solo shots all off Hubert Mejia's for a 5-run barrage in the 7th, with Matthew Ellis providing some insurance via a solo dinker in the 8th as the Aqua Sox out-homered the Emeralds 4-1 despite getting out-hit 12-10 and making the lone error for an 8-5 win. On June 5th, Tri-City blinded Vancouver 8-3 as Ryan Nicholson broke a 1-1 tie with a solo shot off Holden Wilkerson in the bottom of second, followed by the Dust Devils scoring two runs in each of the bottom of fourth, fifth, and Ryan Nicholson hit his second home run in the eighth off the Canadiens' Jonathan Todd as Tri-City out-homered Vancouver 2-1, with both making two errors each. Hillsboro doubled off Spokane 4-2 as Kenny Castillo broke a 2-2 tie in the top of 8th via a 2-run double of Hunter Mann as the Hawks edged the Indians 7-6 in hits, with the latter making both errors. And Eugene bested Everett 6-4 in 10 innings, highlighted by Yancel Villanueva's 3-run bomb off Christian Little in the top of 10th as the Emeralds out-homered the Aqua Sox 2-0 with an 11-5 edge in hits, with both sides making an error each. Three games are on tap today. Hillsboro continues in Spokane Valley at 1:05 p.m. Vancouver renews in Pasco against Tri-City at 1:35 p.m. And Eugene resumes in Everett at 4:05 p.m. All times are Pacific.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
here are the current standings in the Northwest League, which is in the first half. The Eugene Emeralds, an affiliate for the San Francisco Giants, are a runaway first at 38-18. The Tri-City Dust Devils, an affiliate for the Los Angeles Angels, are, which play out of Anaheim, are second at 30-26. The Abraco Sox, an affiliate for the Seattle Mariners, are third at 29-27. The Hillsboro Hops, an affiliate for the Arizona Diamondbacks, are fourth at 25-31. The Spokane Indians, an affiliate for the Colorado Rockies, are fifth at 23-33, much like the Vancouver Canadiens, an affiliate for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Who doesn't love music? Join the weekly discussion at the CJSF Record Club with other music aficionados checking out new releases and forgotten classics, exploring and learning about genres and loving music. Every Thursday at CJSF Burnaby from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. Listen, learn, and share.
Welcome back. I would like to provide updates on the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On June 4th, Mark Coletta, the head coach for the SFU Independent Red Leafs, which ended back in March, was hired as the new coach for the Coquitlam Express, which compete in the British Columbia Hockey League, an independent league since 2024. During his time with SFU hockey, Mark Coletta led the team to four BCIHL crowns. Mark Coletta led the team to four BCIHL crowns in 2010, 2011, 2022, and 2023, after which he coached the Independent Red Leafs for the last three seasons, a venture in trying to get the Red Leafs to the NCAA Division I hockey. But SFU pulled a plug on the team despite the hockey team's proposal of going into youth sports.
CGSF would like to welcome you to a new series highlighting local artists and creatives alike. It's Studio 6, featuring live performances and panel discussions. Studio 6 is geared to bringing local content to you via CGSF 90.1 FM at cgsf.ca/studio6. Visit cgsf.ca/studio6 to find the latest performance or discussion. Want to contribute to Studio 6? There are lots of opportunities for brands and groups to join in. Just visit cgsf.ca/studio6 for more info.
I would like to provide updates on the Western Lacrosse Association. It is a senior A box lacrosse. It is a senior A box lacrosse amateur league sanctioned by the Canadian Lacrosse Association, with many of its players competing in the National Lacrosse League, which is spread throughout North America in winters. On June 3rd, the newest Salmon Bellies. On June 3rd, the newest Salmon Bellies frightened the host Langley Thunder with 5 goals in the third for an 8-6 win, as newest were led by Owen Ron with 5 goals, 2 assists for the first start, Noah Armitage with a goal, 3 assists for the second start, and Connor Watson led Langley with 2 goals in the losing effort for the third start at Langley Event Center. The Bellies continued their winning ways on June 4th as they sunk the visitors Burnaby Lakers 10-5 at Queen's Park Arena, as New West were led by Noah Armitage with 4 goals, 3 assists for the first start. Finn Halliday led Burnaby with 3 goals and assists in the losing effort for the second start, and Ashton LeClaire made 37 saves on 42 shots for the win as for the third start. On June 5th, the host Victoria Shamrocks sunk the Burnaby. On June 5th, The host Victoria Shamrocks sunk Burnaby 15-3 at the Q Centre in Colwood as the Shamrocks took all three stars, led by Marshall King with 3 goals, 5 assists for the first star, Chris Oglieri with 32 saves on 35 shots, and Zach Manns with 3 goals, 5 assists for the third star. As the Lakers starter, Mark Rippinger was torched for 13 goals on 48 shots, followed by Keegan Melancher, who yielded 2 goals on 14 shots. 2 games were on tap for June 6. The Coquitlam 8-X bested the visitors Langley 8-7 at Coquitlam Sports Center, led by James Rahi with 2 goals, an assist for the first star. Dante Kulis led the Thunder with a goal, 4 assists in the losing effort for the second star, and Riley Isaacs scored 2 goals for the third star in the win at Coquitlam Sports Center. The visitors, Victoria, bested Nanaimo in a 13-10 barn burner at Frank Crane Arena as the Shamrocks were led by Ellie McLaughlin with 4 goals, an assist for the first star. Andrew Bowman led the Timbermen with 2 goals, 2 assists in the losing effort for the second star, and Marshall King scored 3 goals for the third star in the win. There is one game on tap tonight as the Maple Ridge Barrage hosts Nanaimo at Planet Ice, Camden Lee Arena. The ball drop is at 6:30 p.m.
Do you like music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CJSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CJSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cjsf.ca.
Here are the current standings in the Western Lacrosse Association. The Maple Ridge Broads are 4-0, 8 points, 2 points for a win with 1 point for a tie. The Victoria Shamrocks are second at 4-1, 8 points. The Coquitlam 8-X are third at 3-2, 6 points, much like the new West Salmon Bellies. The Nanaimo Timbermen are fifth at 2-2, 4 points. The Langley Thunder are 6-1-5, 2 points, and the Burnaby Lakers are last at 0-5.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians. The music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs, interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
I would like to talk about the latest on the Surrey Police transition, which is the largest police transition in Canadian history at this time. On June 1st, when a Surrey Police Board meeting took place, multiple news outlets suggested that the SPS Chief Norm Lipinski has been fired, and the Surrey Police Board confirmed that Lipinski left the SPS the next day on June 2nd, as the Deputy Chief Constable Todd Masumoto was named as the Interim Chief Constable, per Surrey Police Board news release. But the backlash was swift from multiple sides, as the Surrey City Councillor, Linda Annis, who is looking to become the next Surrey Mayor this fall, and another mayoral candidate, Mike Starchuk, sent news releases blasting Brenda Locke, the current Surrey Mayor, who has vehemently opposed transitioning to the Surrey Police Service. Both Annis and Starchuk accused Locke of political interference, as new Surrey Police Board members were approved by Locke, with Starchuk accusing, quote, 5 newly Locke preferred board members leading the charge, while the firing of Norm Lipinski, who started as the first SPS police chief back in 2020, comes during a difficult time for Surrey, which has been hit with extortion and gang shootings. He also signed a new contract back in October 2025 with a renewal option of 2 more years, according to Tom Satarik of Surrey Now Leader. Later on June 2nd, Harley Chappell, the SPB chair, and Semiahmoo First Nations chief resigned in protest, accusing the Surrey Police Board in firing Noel Napinski in a meeting he did not attend. In an interview with CBC News, Chappell was assured that the police meeting on Friday, May 29, 2026, had information only, but the board decided to fire Noel Napinski during the May 29th meeting, with Surrey dealing with a spike in extortion crisis, with 112 reported, 18 of which involved shootings as of May 25th, according to Lauren Vanderbeen of CBC News, which also obtained a letter from the Surrey Police Union, where its president, Ryan Brewerick, questioned if Lipinski was taking the fall for, quote, for challenges created by Mayor Brenda Locke, the city of Surrey, and the province of British Columbia. Chief Lipinski did not create the political instability surrounding Surrey's policing. Many of the concerns our members today are concerns that he repeated raised himself, as the SPS shortages have reached critical levels, unquote. Later on June 2nd, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke made a statement on the Surrey City website where he thanked the ousted SPS chief Noel Napinski for the last 5 years and is looking forward to working with the interim chief Todd Masumoto. Later on, Locke denied any involvement in firing Noel Napinski as the Surrey Police Board makes those decisions, according to Sonia Aslam of City News Vancouver. Noel Napinski's letter to the Surrey Police Union was reported by CBC News on June 3rd, which said that he was fired by the Surrey Police Board without a cause. Lipinski also said in the letter that he was called into a meeting on the first day back from vacation, where he was told he was being fired without a cause. While it wasn't the way he wanted to leave DSPS, he leaves with immense pride on what he accomplished with members under extenuating circumstances, thanked the SPU members for their, quote, professionalism, dedication, and resilience. It has been truly the privilege of a lifetime. Also, according to Katie DeRosa of CBC Vancouver, Noel Napinski's salary was $285,000, with police chiefs earning 1 to 2 years severance, which could mean a $500,000 bill to Surrey taxpayers. On June 4th, a home in Newton neighborhood was targeted by gunshots around 4 a.m. between 57th Avenue and 148th Street, that is registered to Arvind Darkosa, the Cricket Canada president, marking the second time the home was targeted as Surrey recorded its 19th extortion-related shooting with 117 incidents in 2026, according to Joe Sadowski of City News Vancouver. There was more fallout from the Noel Napinski firing on June 4th, as another Surrey Police member, James Caruana, resigned, according to multiple news sources. Caruana had been a Surrey Police Board member since 2020, when the SPS first started. On June 6th, according to Jack Rapp of City News Vancouver, Nina Krieger, the BC's Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, said in a statement, quote, municipal police boards are responsible for personal decisions about staffing, policies, and priorities. Meanwhile, Ryan Burick, the Surrey Police Board President, said in a statement, quote, this is a difficult time for our membership, and confidence in the governance of the Surrey Police Board is at a low point. Thank you for listening to episode 23 of the Steve Chong Show in 2026. Part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox. I'll try to play one more song before I get off the air. Just a minute, please. Sorry, I'm just having an issue right now. It's Sunbrella's Gutter Angel with Bloodline.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Take a look at our program lineup at cjsf.ca to discover the diverse range of contents we bring to you.